Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
First of all, let me just say this. If you're new to Now Church, in the month of May, some of you'll get that. Anybody get that? In the month of May, you know the deal? Never mind. So in the month of May, Pastors Richard and Gail do a sabbatical. And we don't call it a vacation, it's a sabbatical, because it's time for them to get away, to recharge, to refresh, to get the vision from heaven, to get God to just re-inspire them. And that's why we have lasted 34 years so strong. Amen. Yes. So we want to bless them, cover them. But Pastor Richard, so we usually will talk kind of through what the series are, especially when some of us are going to be the ones who are preaching. And he said, man, PL, I pulled up the old CD or whatever it was back in the day. I pulled up that song. He said, Victorious. And I really feel like that's kind of something that we should be pressing into for the month of May. And so that CD or record or video that you just saw right there, it is our 20th anniversary of that record. And we did that recording right in the middle of, there had just been, I forget which hurricane it was, but there was a hurricane. Well, there's three of them, right? But there were some real bad hurricanes during that time. And the night that we actually recorded that record, there had been people, most of our teams was staying in other people's houses. Many of them didn't have they didn't have water, clothes, or whatever else. But we pressed through because we knew that at that moment, that was the word of the Lord for the house. And so we did that recording and had a chance to just see a lot of things. One thing that I noticed in that video that was before Just For Men, for me, in that video, I noticed that there was a whole lot of hairdos and styles and things going on. In that video, as a matter of fact, I had a chance yesterday to try on the shirt that I was wearing in that video, and I could almost fit it, so that wasn't bad. The sad part of that about that is I still got the shirt. 20 years later, why did I keep the shirt, man? There's a couple of things that you just got to stick around. I told you, I got some overalls, some pullbacks, some Levi's overalls. But anyway, so we're going to talk this month. So the theme this month is called Victorious Living. Yes. It's called Victorious Living. And I am so aware that there are seasons where you really just have to go through survival. I mean, if you've been on the earth long enough, you know that there are times where there's seasons where you're just making it through. And then there are times where you go through seasons, what we call stability or maintenance, and you just try to, you know, you're thankful that things are pretty consistent and moving forward. But I believe that this time that we're in now as the church, and when I say the church, I'm not just talking about Now Church, I'm talking about the church at large. I feel like we're in a season where we need to be people who are looking to walk in victory. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Amen. Wasn't that powerful? Woo, you felt the chills in that prayer. Y'all know how I do. So this morning, it's interesting because the lyric of that song was written by a guy who had been in ministry for maybe 10 years at the time. And it's just interesting, like some of the battles and things that you face and you walk through, there was a kind of a, I won't say naivete, but there was kind of an innocence of just continuing to just believe God just because God was God. And it's interesting because the lyrics say, if our God is for us, tell me who can be against us. That's like one of them lyrics that's just like calling you to a fight, right? It's like you're postured like, if God's for me, what up, man? You want some of this, you know? That's what that lyric is saying. If our God is for us, who can be against us? None can separate us from the never-ending love of Christ. All things work together for the good to those who love him, according to his purpose, as we walk in the will of God. And that bridge said, it's our pre-chorus said, it's all because the greater one, he lives in us through Jesus Christ. And the chorus just said, we are more than conquerors, victorious, overcomers. And I realize that sometimes through life, through circumstance, through situations, through just walking on the earth for a little while, that the enemy can try to pull us out of that victorious mindset. Right? We made it through, thank God. We made it through COVID. We've made it through, or we're making it through, financial changes and things that are happening in the land. We make it through all types of, governmental and political. We make it through, but we are postured now in a season as a church, as the church at large, that I believe God is calling us to believe for victory, not just to maintain. Amen. So the scripture that we're going to look at today is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start at the end and then work my way backwards in the time that I have. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 says it this way. So death, tell me, where is your victory? I love it again because it's like it's posturing saying, death, even in death, where is your victory? I've got the victory over death is what it's saying there. Death, where is your victory? Tell me, death, where is your sting? Verse 57 is where I want you guys to really lean into. It says, but we thank God for giving us the victory as conquerors. There's one version that says in all things. Somebody say in all things. So we thank God for giving us the victory as conquerors in all things through our Lord Jesus, the anointed one. Somebody ought to just say amen right there. So that is the posture of whatever you're dealing with, whatever season you're walking through, whatever you're facing, all the stuff that are challenges to you. The end of the story says we have been given victory. We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors because of Jesus that lives in us. I need to say amen one more time. Amen. So let's posture ourselves there and then work backwards. Okay? So we know that whatever we're facing, whatever situation, whatever season, and as a pastor, it's so interesting to me because we get a chance to hear a lot of your stories. And sometimes, I think Pastor Chris might have said it before I got back in here, but we're so grateful that you guys are turning in those cards for Heart for the House, because when I'm reading through those cards, my heart breaks and melts for some of you. Some of the stuff you're dealing with, some of the family issues, some of the health things, some of the relational stuff, I look through those cards and we're praying for them every day. And then I take a third, they take a third. We mix them up. I've got my batch and we're going to switch them out this week. But I stand here in those moments and I just pray the word of God over you. Thank God that you've caused us to triumph through Christ Jesus. And whatever those things are that seem so big and so insurmountable, that God is able to really move on your behalf. Now, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but I took some of this stuff from Jensen Franklin. He's a great speaker. If you've never heard of him, you might want to look him up. He's awesome. But he started talking about this concept, and I just want to dig into it a little bit deeper. He started talking about this concept of how to control a narrative. Anybody ever heard that phrase? That's used a lot. It's used a lot in politics. It's used a lot in sports. I'm not a huge sports guy. I'm not going to sit and watch a bunch of games or from front to back. But I do like to watch and listen to some of the pundits and the guys who are talking about the games afterwards. And this phrase, controlling the narrative, comes up all the time. Control the narrative. How do you control the narrative? Control the narrative. And so then I did a research yesterday. And I was looking through, which is interesting. You remember TED Talk? Anybody know what TED Talk is? Some of you do. That was so prominent several years ago because not everybody at that time had a podcast. Now everybody's got a podcast these days. But TED Talk was one of those things where you could kind of go and get information that maybe you hadn't heard before. And so I looked up this TED Talk of a lady who, her title was, she was a narrative scholar. Now remember, we're talking about controlling the narrative. The word narrative, by definition, is simply this. A narrative is a spoken or written account of connected events or a story. So a narrative is very simple, a spoken or written account of connected events or a story. When I put in Google and I asked them to show me the definition of how to control a narrative, it was funny because in 20.3 seconds, it said that there were 475 million results of people who had been talking about how to control a narrative. 475 million results of how to control a narrative. So how many of you know it's important to know how to control your narrative? And the definition that they gave of the narrative was this. A narrative was when someone who is usually in a position of influence tells their version or opinion of an event. While doing so, they leave out certain parts that they do not like in order to make you believe the same way that they believe. You ever face that? So people trying to control a narrative, trying to tell you something that they think or they believe, the way that they want it to be painted, the picture that's being painted. And I just want to say this, if you are a note taker, this is probably one of the most important parts of the day. Narrative equals control, and control equals power. So if you control your own narrative, then you have the power in your own life. I believe that a huge part of us today, part of what we're living in, the society, the seasons, that it's so important for us to learn how to take back control of the words, of the thought, of the story of our lives. Amen, somebody? Like, it's important. It's a big deal. This scholar said this. The narrative scholar said, she said, humans make sense of the world through stories. I thought that was interesting. That it's a natural propensity for you to want to attach a story to something so that you have better understanding of it. Interestingly enough, I heard not too long ago, somebody was, you know, saying, well, Pastor Lindsay tells too many stories. He doesn't use. And I was like, well, first of all, no, I ain't even gonna say what I said, first of all. And second of all, I guess I need to tell more stories because clearly you didn't read the Bible because that didn't that what Jesus did, man? He was telling stories. So whoever, never mind. So the narrative scholar said, humans make sense of the world through stories. She said, we reason through stories. We connect through stories. She said, we identify through stories. So you hear a story and it's like, oh, I can connect to that. That makes sense to me. Here's the other part I thought was interesting. She said, it's an intrinsic part of our nature. One of the first things you do before you can even start to reason, you start to think of stories. And I was like, oh, I've got a really good example of this. At Christmas, I had my family down and I had just these precious moments with some of my nephews, nieces, the whole thing, just the house was full of people. And one of them that I just particularly love, his name is Rainin. He's 5 and a half. No, I'm sorry. He's 5 3/4 at the time. So now he's 6, whatever. And every night before we would go to bed, he would make his way into my room and he'd hop on my bed. And he just wanted to do, go ahead and play that clip if you've got it. I took a clip one of the nights of the moments we had together. See if you can guys pull it up for me.
And then their mom started punching them. Them started getting on the ground.
Wait, that's chapter 2?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then they started getting some powers.
Oh.
It was fighting.
Okay, so what is the magic?
And then the police and then the candy police arrived.
Hey, what's the powers that the bears had? Is one of them invisible?
One of them, all of them throws candy at them.
That's their superpower?
Yeah, and it hurts.
Can any of them fly?
No. Yeah, it has lollipops which they can fly.
With wings?
Yeah.
Okay. He's trying to land the story, but you gotta land it.
Land it right.
landed though. So the lollipops. The lollipops, were flying, and then where's the landing, though? You got to give me a good landing. This was chapter 2, Mom.
Okay, yes.
So he was supposed to be going to bed. So by chapter 12, Mom came back into my room and grabbed him from the flying lollipops who were dealing with bears and the thing. But I shared that clip because it's just a natural instinct for this little guy to tell stories. And the stuff that he's telling is as real to him as me standing here talking to you. And he knew every twist and turn, and I was trying to follow. I said, man, you got to land the story. And then every time we get ready to land, he had another narrative coming around the corner. And I was like, bro, it's like 12 o'clock. You need to go to bed. But the author said, she said, a narrative nature is intrinsic to us. We want to tell a story. As I land here, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. It says, that's not true. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 again. But thank God for giving us the victory as conquerors in all things through our Lord, the Anointed One. So now, beloved ones, this is what I want you to see, 58. So now, beloved ones, stand firm. Stable and enduring. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord, because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures. So Paul is telling them, listen, understand that the things that you're working toward, that you're putting your faith in, that you're putting your energy toward, that it's productive and fruitful, that it is not for naught. It is not in vain. Now, let's jump down to the next passage, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. And he says here in verse 1, let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news that I have preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message that I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. Isn't that crazy? Verse 3, I passed on to you what was most important, and what had also been passed on to me. And then Paul goes on. You can just give me your eyeballs for a second. This passage is so powerful because Paul is saying in the very first verse, he says, let me remind you. You know why he had to remind them of the things that he was about to remind them of? It's because there were a billion different narratives that were coming at them. In the time that we're reading here in the book of Corinthians, right? This is Paul. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to believers. But during this time, there was so much corruption in Corinth. There was all kinds of pagan gods. There was all this stuff that was surrounding them. They were inundated by sin and darkness and vulgarities. It was a crazy space that they were in. So Paul says, hey, I need to remind you of the things that you believed on at one point. I need you to make sure that the voices that you are hearing and seeing around you are not stifling the truth that you know. Does that make sense? So we get it from the news, we get it from TV, we get it from friends, we get it from families, we get it from all these sources. I'm going to say it again. We're considering possibly doing a podcast, and I thought about it, and every time I hear a new podcast, I'd like roll my eyes because I'm like, well, who gave you the authority to be the authority on that subject? Anybody ever thought that? You listen to some knucklehead who, let me be nice, but why am I so feisty today? But you're listening to some dude or person who, right, whatever their credentials are, and you're thinking, why are you the authority on this project? But I realize that there's so much information that consistently comes at us that Paul's saying, let me remind you, these are the things that are the most important. These are the things that we base our lives on, that we stake our futures on. He says, I'm going to read it again. It is this good news that saves you. If you continue to believe the message I told you. Verse 3, I passed it on to you, the important things that have been passed on to me. Here's the part. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then verse 7, it says he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. And I love this part because Paul recognizes that he was the chief of sinners. He recognized that if anybody deserved to have been able to have an experience with Jesus, it wasn't him. He recognized that now, as this thing is being written, he understands that there's going to be generation after generation after generation who aren't going to physically get to see Jesus. So they're going to have to believe the narrative and the stories that are being passed on. Are you guys catching this? So the reason why Paul is so adamant about it, he says here in verse 8, he says, last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time. This is Paul talking about himself. I also got to see Jesus. I was killing Christians a couple chapters before it. I was on my way to try to destroy this whole new gospel or this new movement that was happening in the earth. And Paul, this broken man, says, and me, the least worthy of all, I got to see Jesus. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way that I persecuted the church. But verse 10 says, but whatever I am now, it's all because God poured out his special favor on me. Man, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other prophets or apostles. Yet as it was not I, but God who was working through me in this grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message that you already believed. And here's the thing that I find so interesting about this entire passage. All of us are going to have opportunities for a narrative to be told about our life. We got a chance to go on Friday to an outreach that we did, and it was really cool, and we got a chance to just minister to some of these kids who are in a different part of our community, and I just felt so honored to be able to walk in that room. And there were five, I don't know, there were some of them were, I think the kid I played with most was like 8 years old, and they were 8 to 12 or whatever, and they had just come out of school, and you know, they come in, it's Friday, it's the end of the week, and you just know that there's a lot of stories in them kids. You ever been around a kid who you know has lived a lot of life? And so I'm listening to them, and I'm talking to them, and I'm trying to relate and connect, and I don't want to just do the stereotypical, you know, I don't want to make the stereotypical assumption, but many of them, as I was talking to them, didn't have fathers, and they hadn't had a lot of interaction with male figures. And you could sense the hunger and thus the desperation for them to be loved on and played with. So we played and, you know, hugged on them and, you know, ate a bunch of junk that we shouldn't have been eating. I know, coach, he's here. Some of y'all don't know, by the way, my coach is here. Give it up for coach. I don't even know what your government name is, but we call him Serge. This is a total sidetrack. This sucker right here, this man is an ex-Marine, former Marine. You don't want to play around with that. Former Marine, but man, can I just tell you publicly, I know you hate the spotlight, but dude, I appreciate you because the narrative for me, when I came to you about a year and a half ago, a year and a few months ago, was there's diabetes in our family, that there is sickness all around, that my joints and bones were aching, that I was in just hitting my 50s and all these stories about what happens when you're 50 and your hormones change, and some of that is true, Lord God Jesus. And I still got a long ways to go, but do you know that you helped me change my narrative? And he would push, and sometimes I wanted to just punch him in the jaw, but I knew better. Easy day, Lindsay, easy day. Take a lap. And I was like, thank God that my narrative was able to shift, because I didn't let somebody write my story. I'm writing my own story, and you helped write the story. Give it up for Coach one more time. Just want to call you out, man. Thank you for being here. Now, what was I talking about? Oh, I was talking about junk food, because his whole thing is, bruh, you know, you can't outwork a bad diet. I'm like, I know. Sugar. I don't want to talk about that. So we get to control the narrative. We get to write the story. So I'm talking to these kids and dealing with these kids, and I'm seeing just the power of being able to have a conversation and a word spoken over them. And just a word of encouragement, a word of, you're not at your end. You're starting your life. There are great things ahead of you. That there's something like that goes a mile. But these kids were eating it up. And I realized, again, our narrative is so important. Let's land on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 says this. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's great secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus, the one who was crucified. I came to you in my weakness, timid and trembling. And my message and my preaching were very plain. And here's what I want you to see today. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. You want to be victorious? You want to be an overcomer? It's not about the words you say or the eloquence of speech or how awesome you are or how great you can pull together thoughts and things. It's about the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. That is how we overcome. He said, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit, and I did this so that you would not trust in human wisdom, but rather in the power of God. As we bring this in, I've been hearing a lot about this thing, AI. Some of you guys have seen that too. And there's this narrative out there that's saying AI is going to take over every job, and it's going to take over the communities, and it's going to run people out of their abilities to work and do things. But can I tell you that where the power of God is, there is no substitute? I'm not scared of AI. I know AI, they say you can put in like a one phrase or one comment, and they did this example of how you can put in one thought and then AI will actually write an entire song for you. But here's the difference. A lyric is a lyric, but a lyric doesn't mean anything unless the power of God breathes into that lyric, right? That's what our services are about. When you see me pressing on heaven, there's a million churches that are singing some of the same things, and God bless them. We pray, thank God for all that he's doing. But you're never going to walk in this room and not see us lean into, not a lyric, but the Spirit of God. A moment. Not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord's in this place. When he starts to breathe into something, things change. We start walking in the victory that is available for us. You are victorious. You are more than conquerors. You are overcomers. You write your narrative by the word of God. I've seen this in action. I'm going to close with this. Yesterday, as I was preparing for the message and just kind of setting up the month for you guys, I got a DM at like 7:30 in the morning. And it was so interesting to me because this DM was from a lady that I had started interacting with through her son about 4 years ago. So this was 2020. And I'm so sensitive to the Spirit of God, guys. Here's the thing. I know I'm not the most eloquent speaker. I make mistakes. I say the wrong stuff. I use the wrong tense of certain things. I'm not trying to be some super scholar. But I promise you that when I walk in this room, I'm trying to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is saying in the moment. I'm comfortable going off script a little bit. So that day, I was preaching a series 4 years ago, and it was second service, and I just vividly remember kind of looking out, and there was this young guy, handsome kid, he was like 17 years old at the time, and I could see him sitting next to a young lady, and I didn't know if it was his sister or his girlfriend or what it was, and I could see the narrative being written for him. And what it was he was just trying to go along with what was happening in the room, but I knew the Word of God was connecting with him. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like he was just trying to, you know, show off or whatever for his friend or his girlfriend or whoever it was. And so I stopped the service, and I called him out. Nicely, as I do. So I stopped the service, and I said, "Hey, man, what's your name?" And he told me his name. I said, "Come here." So he walked up to the platform, and I loved him. I loved his spirit. I loved his whole thing. Cool kid. And so I just began in that moment to speak the narrative of heaven over his life. And I said, "Man, there's a call in your life. God, in this moment, has something for you. I'm stopping this whole service. I'm going a whole different direction because I felt a leading and an unction of the Holy Spirit to speak the word of God over you, to speak the words of life over you." We went through a season. He left. He received it, loved on him, interacted with him on and off. About 2 years later, I guess this was in 2022, his mom DM'd me again and said, "Please, can you pray for him? He tried to commit suicide. He's dealing with drug stuff. He's got all these things." And check this out. She kept going back to the narrative that I had spoken over him for 20 seconds. She was hanging on to the word of the Lord over his life from some transition in one service from 20 seconds. Then she sends me a clip, of a video clip that she was taking while she was sitting in that chair about right there. And she said, "I just need you to continue to pray for him and cover him because he's going through and he's doubting his faith and he's wondering." And she said, "There's all these people that are speaking into him and telling him what he can't do and telling him who he's supposed to be," which was something that he really wasn't. So I prayed with her and went back and forth several times and covered him. And then I get a DM yesterday at 7:30 in the morning. And she said, "Pastor Lindsay, I don't know if you remember me." And she sent me another clip of the video, and she said, "This is who I am." She said, "I just need you to know that my son died Thursday." Yeah. So this stuff is real, man. And so I had a chance to reach out to her and just let her know the church would be praying for you and covering you. And I don't know the final space of where he was at, but I'm just believing God that the narrative that was spoken over him, some way, somehow, he grabbed a hold of that thing. And I was nervous. I will say this publicly. I was nervous because I didn't know if maybe it was what it was. Was it suicide? Was it something? Found out. She sent me a clip of the obituary, and he'd been in a terrible motorcycle accident. 21 years old. I'm believing God that the words that were spoken over this young man that he clung to, I'm believing God that a simple moment of encouraging somebody and getting off script in a service because we're so polished and we know what we need to do and we have all of our sets and things, I'm so comfortable letting God move and breathe in a moment. What do you need today? What'd you come here expecting from heaven? What have the lies and the stories that have been being told about your life? What are the lies that the enemy's telling you that you're at the end of your rope, that you're not going to make it? What if you got a report from a doctor? Is that the narrative you're going to land on? Or are you going to be victorious overcomer? Right? Easier said than done. What if it was, who knows, relationship stuff? I will say this very carefully as I do my second ending, third ending. That I'm so, I'll put you a word of admonition. Can I just be encouraging to you to be careful who you let speak into your life? Can I say that way? Like, we have a lot of people, you know, and you go through, I wish I could find the scenario where I've got a good testimony of this great moment where somebody went and they did their counseling stuff and it was great and powerful. But I just realized, man, that there's so many times where you're going to people who don't know your backstory. They don't know your value system. Come on. They don't know the stuff you've been walking through and the people that are surrounding you. They don't know all the things. I'm just saying, simply in this season, make sure that you're listening to the word of heaven, not the word of somebody. It's a little bit of a sidetrack. But I've seen it, and I'm thankful to God that the moments that we've had a chance to intervene in some of these situations and speak the word of the Lord over somebody's life, we've seen things move and shift. Yeah. I feel him in the room right now. Do you? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Brandon. Let's just pray. I got to finish. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit and your presence. I pray for my friend. I pray for her and her family. And Lord, just the pain that they are experiencing, the things that they're going through. I pray, God, that you would just minister to them in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that the seeds that were sown of the word of God and the word of life in that young man, that they harvested, that they are fruitful, and that he's in the arms of Jesus today. That is my expectation, because you change our narrative. You write our story. You tell us who we are and can be. And Lord, it wasn't with eloquence of my speech or my great ability to orate, but it's with demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit in this place today. So I ask you right now, as we close, God, that you would touch the hearts and the lives of people who've been told the wrong story. Lord, somebody in this room who's been given a negative doctor's report. Somebody watching online, Lord, who's been given a bad report. God, I speak the word of God that says, by his stripes, we have been healed. Lord, somebody who's dealing with mental, psychological stuff. I thank you, God, that you said in your word that you have given us the mind of Christ, that we can be strong and courageous. I thank you, God, that people who are dealing with maybe financial issues, that you promised in your word as victorious people that we can live in your grace and your abundance and the fullness of your harvest. God, I just thank you today that you're with us and you're going to help us to walk out lives as victorious overcomers. Keep your heads bowed. We're going to pray real quick. We never leave a room. I never leave a moment or an opportunity to give somebody who maybe is ready to get on an on-ramp. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you haven't connected to him. Maybe you don't know this God that I'm talking about. I'm not going to spend a lot of time asking you, but if you're in the room and you want to make a first time or maybe a recommitment to following Jesus, to walking with him, I just want you to slip your hand up real quick and I'm going to pray for you. If you're in this room, slip your hand up real quick. I see you. Man, I see you. I see you. And so does God. Just pray this with me. Say, Jesus, everybody pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I thank you that you are the author of my story. And I thank you that the narration says, if I would confess with my heart, confess with my mouth, and believe in my heart that you are the Son of God, that I would be saved. And so I ask you, God, to come in and change my life. Write the rest of my story. It's in your hands. It's your pen. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. If you love him, give him a big praise.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.